Amen. I'm glad the Lord never changes. Still there for you. Never leave you nor forsake you. My wife wanted me to have a commercial tonight, so we'll do it. So here comes the bride. You've seen it back there. It's on the Baptist Bride Heresy. And, you know, how do you, you know, if you want it, get it, you know. You know, we just got, that thing's been a battle. That book right there, I had a lady proofread that. I said, now, sister, when you proofread that, just be aware, it might be a real battle. And she started proofreading it, and a relative died, uncle died, the plumbing broke, and in the middle of proofreading, she looked at her husband and said, you think I should just give it back to him? And I tell you, I don't know what that thing has just, to get that thing published has just been a battle. And I realized, I just said, Lord, if you don't want it published, I don't care. Just, that's fine. And it seemed like he did, but that thing's just been a battle. But anyway, if you wanted to study on the Baptist Bride Heresy, I quote their stuff in the first chapter rather extensively. Got quotes in there by Tottenham and, oh, I don't know, some other guys. Jack Hiles in there and different ones like that. And I cover that. I'm sure it's going to make some people real happy in certain sections of Christianity. And then this one is pursuit. This is a personal testimony of the struggles trying to figure out what God wanted us to do. And on the back, it almost looks like it was written to preachers, and it's not. It's written to anybody. If you want to read personal testimony of somebody that made a lot of mistakes, you can read that. Trying to figure out what God wants you to do, maybe give you some light and stuff. I've had some real good feedback from it. A number of people have said they started reading it, couldn't put it down, read it in a day, read it in 2 days. Just had some real good. Matter of fact, there's two people in the ministry from reading the book, and just been a real blessing. I don't know. I had a blessing today. I went to a website, the church we helped start up there in New York. They've got a website now. Just, you know, it's a blessing to be serving God and then start seeing some people get it and do something with it, you know, and grow. And just personal testimony was a blessing. Those New Yorkers, they're go-getters, man. They're something else. And they're doing it. They're just going after it. And street preaching now. And the preacher just grabbed a hold of the Bible Believers stuff. Been to BibleBelievers.com, devoured that website, got Dr. Ruckman's books and reading that and digesting it. And they're just going like mad. And that's real joy. And that book, Pursuit, had a major effect on his life, and he's in the ministry. It's God. It's not me. I'm not trying to take any credit, but I am glorying, and I just it's a joy. It just really is, and I thank God. I mean, that was, you know, I'm going to give him a bad time. Say, you know, I think the Lord let my voice go out for them because the voice went out, and that's how I met them. And you know, Lord, something. I was out in California trying to start a church, tried to start three churches, and they were all an absolute disaster. And I tried pastoring four times, counting those three plus another one, and took that church, and it was going down. And tried to do all that. And then I go to New York, and I'm not even trying to start a church. I'm just trying to get my voice back. And the Lord used my family and I to get a church started. I wasn't even looking. And so it's all God. I mean, it's just the Lord. It really is. And it's a great privilege to be in on it. If you will, take your Bibles, go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8 is where we'll start tonight. John chapter 8. And it is good to be saved. It's good to be free. And boy, what a joy, what a privilege. John chapter 8, and let's start in verse 28. John 8:28. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, Then shall you know that I am he, that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Boy, every time I read that, I just think, you know, I'm going to be like that one day. That's a blessing. I mean, everything, you get to heaven, everything you do is going to please God. That's a blessing. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, God, it's just good to be here. It's good to be in a Bible-believing church. Lord, I am so reminded that there are not very many Bible-believing church on the face of this earth today. And we have the privilege to be in one. And I thank you. God, I pray that you would bless the message. Lord, I pray you clear my mind, my heart. Pray you'd fill me with the Holy Spirit. Lord, meet with us tonight. Draw us nearer to thee. Lord God, speak to hearts. Convict us where we need it. Encourage the discouraged. Convict the lost. I pray they get saved. Lord, I pray that you'd have your way and your will in the services tonight. Lord, you know I've prayed. And if I stood before you, I'd have to say, Lord, I believe this is what you want me to preach tonight. Please bless it. Use it. Lord, thank you for the privilege to preach. Thank you, Lord, for giving me my voice back. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I was thinking about that tonight, just being here and being able to preach in the valley and the leaving the voice and my voice leaving me and losing it and all that stuff. And I almost thought, Lord, do you want me to just give a testimony of it? And I thought, I wouldn't know what to say. I mean, but I don't believe I will. But boy, it's just God's good. You know that? Just good. You lose something like that. Lose your voice and have God bring it back. It's just a joy. It just really is. And but he says there about the truth. Says if the truth shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And then verse 36: if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, did the guys get back? Yeah, you did. You're back. Okay. But, you know, they visited a jail tonight, a prison. A prison. A prison. You say, what is a prison? Well, a prison is a place where your liberty is restricted highly. You don't have a lot of liberty in prison. And I'm sure in, you know, there's millions in prison around the world tonight. I think about it, it changed my outlook. I was listening to a preacher, Pastor Paul DeBacco in Pennsylvania. He went over to Brother Hamilton in Moldova, and Brother Hamilton had a translator there that had been in the Russian military, and he was out now. He was partially disabled from it. They visited a Russian jail and went over there, and Cuddy said that when Cuddy, that's his nickname, Cuddy, but he said he got there, and everybody said, do not give your passport to anybody. He said, all right. They got to the jail, walked, you know, right inside the door. First question on the first day there, can I see your passport? And he'd just been told, don't give it to anybody. And he's hesitating. And Brother Hamilton says, Cuddy, give me your passport. He's like, giving it to a Russian in a Russian jail. He said, well, God, I may never make it out of here, you know. And they said, all right, just a minute. And they're waiting there. And three soldiers come out, and they put guns to their heads. And they're like, you know, and they take him into this room, start questioning them and all this stuff and answering all this. You know, just, I mean, he's like, oh, here it is. Here we go. I'm going home, you know. And the guns to the head, the AK-47s, you know. And I'll get to the sermon in a bit. And they're in there. And there's this guy at a table, you know, just typical. He said it looked like a typical James Bond movie type deal. There's one light bulb hanging from the ceiling, a table, guy sitting back there smoking a cigarette, you know. And they come in guns, you know, and they've lost their passports. And the translator who had been in the Russian military, he's just talking away and his arms are going, you know, and on like that, you know. And he's going on. This went on for like 10 minutes and they're sitting down now, you know, and they're the guns on them. And some time goes by and the guy's talking, you know. And finally, you know, he gives up and the head guy says, all right, or whatever, and the guns go down, and then they just start laughing. Not the missionaries, but the soldiers. They, you know, it was like, ha ha, you know. And Cuddy said that he was so relieved that he said before he could even think, he just stood up and stuck his hand out to say thank you. And he said, as soon as he did, he said, I knew I did the wrong thing. And he said, everybody, the soldiers, everybody just guns back up, and everybody just went silent. And he's like, he said, I didn't know where to sit down. He said, I didn't know what to do. And he's just frozen there. And he's kind of, and then, you know, everybody's like, what's going to happen? And the guy in charge goes, ah, stupid American. You know? And they said, okay. And they got the permission to go inside the jail. On the way in, Hamilton goes, Cuddy, you almost got us killed. He said, I'm sorry, you know. And he said, they went in this prison. It was bad. He said, they walked in. There's no restrooms. He said, it's just cement block. He said, they're just, everything ran right down the middle of the room. And he said, as soon as we got in there, they recognized who we were. We were Christians. And immediately all the Christians in that cell made a circle around them to protect them from the Satanists. Because the Satanists were on the outside of that circle. And he said they got in there. He said it was just the conditions were absolutely horrible. And he said they would get, the prisoners would get sick. They'd get tuberculosis and one of them would be on a bed over there. And he said they would give their blankets to him and they would give, you know, whatever food they could to them because they knew it wouldn't be long. They'd be there too. That one would be dying and they'd be there next. And he said they preached the gospel to him and he went on and on about that thing, and I just thought, you know, there's Christians in there. Saved Christians in conditions that are just horrible. And I know there's other prisons, especially in America, where they walk around, they're like, oh, I'm tough, I can handle it. You probably saw some tonight, brother. There's just juveniles who walk around and say, yeah, I'm tough. But boy, when they get alone, I bet they pillow their head and they grit their teeth and they say, oh, God, I want out of this place. Prison is just natural to want out. You want to be free. And you take prisons, a place where your liberty is lost. You don't have any liberty. And liberty abused is lost. America does not have the liberty that she used to have. We're losing our liberty. Some of it is out of greed, but a lot of it is because it's been abused, because the character of the average American is not what it was 100 years ago. Do you realize 100 years ago, 80 years ago. You could go down to the local hardware store, walk in, and buy a fully automatic Thompson submachine gun. You realize that? You wouldn't have to sign anything. No waiting period. No license. None of that. You just walk in, hey, Joe, yeah, I'd like to get me a Tommy gun. Oh, yeah, right here, you know. Here, yeah, you know, I'd like to use it on the mountain lions, you know, or something like that. You know. They're getting my sheep, you know. But can you imagine that? Just walking in and getting a machine gun. And it's completely legal. Man, that's something to think about, you know. And it just shows the amount of liberty that we've lost. But you see, Al Capone and Pretty Boy Floyd and the bank robbers started using, saying, nice, you know, gun. And so you lost that liberty because it got abused. And when your liberty is lost, you're in prison. And thing is, there's a lot of different kinds of prisons. You know, not all prisons got bars. There's people in America, there might be people here tonight, you know what, you're in a prison. And I just want to preach on the subject of prisons and how to break out, how to get out of them. And really, it's the same solution to any prison. You say, what's the solution? The truth, the Word of God, Jesus Christ. That's the solution. But there's certain prisons, they don't have bars, but they're a prison. Sin is a prison. We were talking about RU. What was it? Recovery Reformers Unanimous. And, you know, there's, is it good, is it bad, whatever. And just a little bit that I've been around it, you know, it's like, well, it seems like it's all right, you know, if it's done right, whatever. But you know what? You're dealing with people that are in prison. They've got drugs or they've got fears or whatever it is. And, man, they want to break out, but they don't know how. There's a lot of people in America got a lot of baggage now. A lot of baggage. Living in prison, trying to figure out how to get out. I'll tell you how to get out. You get out with the Word of God. The truth set you free. I mean, we're over in Iraq trying to bring freedom. Well, I don't know if we can do it. Because freedom comes through the truth. And they don't want the truth. Freedom and Islam, the two don't go together. They don't go together. And America's got the freedom because it's a remnant from the Word of God in its early beginnings. That's all that is. But you take sin, you know what? Sin will put you in prison. And boy, just a little at a time, little at a time, little at a time. And you wake up one day and you're in prison and say, well, I'm going to, like Samson, I'm going to go out as before. And you're not going to be able to. And you know what sin's like? It's like a mountain lion. In the springtime, and boy, there's a little fawn there in the meadow, and boy, it stalks up there, and man, it starts going, that little fawn starts running, and as soon as those claws are in it, it's over. And boy, sin gets its claws in you, it's over. You and I don't have the power to break free of sin. Doesn't matter if you're saved or lost. You don't have the power. Listen, the way to get victory is through the Word of God and Jesus Christ. You got to draw close to Him first. And He'll give you the victory. Only Jesus Christ could set you free from your sin, from your prison. There is no other way. I'll tell you something else. Fear is a prison. Go to 2 Timothy. Look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Fear is a, boy, it's a big prison. Now, I know the fear of the Lord, that's the right fear, that's a right thing. But there's other fears, and they're going to just put you in a prison, and there's unseen bars, and boy, there's liberty that God wants you to have, but you don't have it. Look at 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear. You know, more and more. I mean, sometimes I start getting, you know, nervous about the election and all that stuff. And I got to back off and say, wait a minute. That Bible said, let not your heart be troubled. And there's Christians just troubled and troubled and troubled. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Hey, You're going to do the same thing you're doing today. You're going to trust God. I mean, but you still, you know, let not your heart be troubled. Just fear this, fear that, for that. And boy, that steals your liberty. God's able to work through all that stuff. God's not limited by the U.S. government. I mean, look at there. It says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power. Well, you know what that tells me? That tells me that fear will make you weak. It'll take your power. You won't have any power. You take soldiers or armies that are afraid, they don't have any power. They're running. You know? You take, it's going to take your power there, God, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. See how they're and of love? You know what fear will do? It'll make you hate. You know, they lived in fear of Saddam Hussein. And when he got dethroned, you know what they were doing? They were dancing in the streets. Why? They hated him. They lived in fear. You take a child that lives in... Now, I know there's a balance in all this, but you take the children that live in fear of mom or dad that they're just going to get beat every day, as soon as possible, they're gone. They're gone. They're leaving. I mean, that there should be a respect, yes, but there's got to be a love there too. And boy, people just living in fear. You know what? It'll cause you to hate. It'll cause you to hate. He says there, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. Fear will take your mind. You know, what if I get cancer? What if this? What if about this? What about this? What about, you know? And sometimes I get a little bit that way, and it's like, Lord, please, you know, I gotta trust God and rest in the Lord. But there's some people that have a bad time of it. Boy, their mind gets going, and what about this? And what about that? What about this? What about what? Something hurts. What's hurting you? Man, you're gonna lose your mind, man. You're just worried about the, you know, this might happen, that might. Yeah, it might. What am I gonna do? I don't know. Don't worry about it. Let your Father take care of you. You know, but then some people, they have a time at that. Well, what am I going to do here? What am I going to do there? There's people, man, that fear there is one of the things that keeps people back from serving God. Well, how am I going to pay my bills? What about that? What about, there's no telling how many missionaries never make it to the field because of fear. It's fear. And just, boy, you got to take those fears and listen. The Son shall set you free. I wonder what you're afraid of tonight. So I'm not afraid of anything. I don't believe that. I know there's fears. You say, why? Well, because the life insurance business is a multi-billion dollar business. Now, I'm not against it. I'm not against that thing. But that's all that. Well, what if this? What am I going to do here? What about, you know, all that stuff? I mean, take the commercials. How many commercials foster fear? What are you going to, you know, the one, of course, they took it off the it was a little bit too, you know, far out that I didn't think it was right, but that one, help, I've fallen and I can't get up, you know. Remember that thing? And there were seniors watching that going, oh, I got to get me one of those life alerts, you know. I mean, you know, they were making money, you know, all that stuff. But I mean, just fear, just, boy, they just pump that thing, the presses. I mean, just using fear like mad. You know, what about this? What about this? Oh, no, the election. Oh, no. You're just on and on and on. People just agitated, walking around just agitated. Man, that's not of God. That's just not, just work it up. I wonder what you're afraid of. You know, they got them phobias. There's hydrophobia. It's afraid of water. There's acrophobia. That's heights. There's arachnophobia. That's afraid of spiders. There's, okay, there's bibliophobia. You say, preacher, what's your fears? Well, if you know, one of my fears is sharkophobia. I don't know about that ocean stuff, you know. I've been out, I'll swim, but... Yeah, I get out in it, but you know, we went, you know, with them gill nets down in Pensacola, and they said, oh, McDonald, somebody else, you know, they had the boat and you had to walk way out there, you know, And it's getting deeper and deeper, and it, you know, it's getting up to here, and you're letting the net out. You know, it's in the middle of the night. And I was just so aware that there's things under that water that move much more efficiently than I did. I didn't like that. But, you know, those fears, you know, I don't know what fears you have, but you got to give those things to God. Now, you take men have fears, generally speaking. Men will be afraid of not being a success. You know, well, my job isn't as good as so-and-so. I remember, now, you know, maybe you're raised in a homeschooler or a Christian school. It may not be quite, you know, wasn't the biggest school, but I was public school. I guess I should say federal school. But, but you know, I mean, they have those class reunions, and, you know, there's no telling how many guys never go back to a class reunion because their job isn't this grand, fantastic job, you know, and they heard about so-and-so, and he's a doctor, and the other guy, he's a lawyer, and they're like, man, I don't want to go. You know, that stuff goes on. Afraid of that stuff. Well, I'm not a success, you know. Or, you know, guys generally be afraid of what their buddies think. That's a big one. They're just, well, you know, I'm not going to get saved, man. How am I going to face my buddies, you know, and stuff, and go to hell over that stuff. I remember, now my brother, he was 3 years ahead of me in high school. And in his class, there was a man, young man there named Steve Tripp. Steve was a nice guy, he really was. And Steve was a very good fighter. He was very good. Ended up with his own taekwondo studio and just very good fighter. And I remember I went off to Bible school. I got saved, came back home to start a church, and was there, and I'd heard that Steve got saved. And I'm like, wow, and I'd seen him around town, and he looked different. You know, sometimes you can tell, but he wasn't living for the Lord. And one day I met him at the post office. And I go, Steve. And he goes, hi. I said, well, I heard you got saved. Man, I was all excited. And he's like, he kind of glanced at me and said, yeah. I said, man, great. I said, wait a minute. And I went out to my truck and I got some tracks, you know, and stuff. And I came back and said, here, because I could tell he wasn't living for the Lord, you know, but I knew it was saved. You could just tell. And I said, here, read this stuff. It'd be a blessing to you. And I said, man, that's great. I said, how'd you get saved? You know, trying to talk to him. And, you know, in small town, I'm Twain Hart, population of just a few hundred, everybody knows everybody. He's just, you know, looking around, you know. And he said, I got saved. He said, but I'm not as bold as you. I remember standing there looking at him. I remember looking at that. I just thought to myself, I feared you. I did. I mean, this guy's tough, you know. I said, I feared you. And I just thought, you don't even have the guts to stand up for Jesus Christ? And I just thought, there's a man, he's tough, he'd back down for nobody. But he's in prison. He's in prison, won't stand up for Jesus Christ. Just afraid of what everybody will think and oh no, you know, all that stuff. You take, what are women afraid of? Well, all kinds of things. But you take generally... You take, generally speaking now, if a girl's single and she's about 20, she starts to get a little bit concerned there. And girls grow up thinking, what's it going to look like, you know, and who's it going to be, and on and on and on. You know, and they get dreaming about that stuff. Guys don't dream about that stuff. Guys dream about being, you know, a soldier, you know, a policeman or what, you know. They're dreaming about, you know, what am I going to do? I'm going to, you know, guys dream about what they're going to go conquer. That's, they grow up thinking about that. They do not think about getting married. They do. They think about how do I get out of it? That's how they grow up, you know. And the girls, you know, they're, you know, even as a little girl, they're just thinking about what's it going to look like, you know, and, you know, the knight in shining armor and all that stuff, you know. They get to be about 20, 21, 22, and they're like, man, I know he's not around here. There's nobody around here, you know. They get thinking about that, you know, And then you know, along about 23, 24, 25, you know, then it's really, you know, oh no, man, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? You know, I mean, where is he? You know, and then, you know, about 26, 27, 28, it's desperado. It's like, ah, no, what am I, you know, they're just, oh man, they're just, oh, what am I, you know, then it's 30 and they're like, yeah, it's no use. It's over. There's nobody for me, you know. You know, my pastor's pastor and his wife, they got married when they were 40. They got married when they're 40. I know you don't want to hear that, but but they get the fear of, oh no, I'm not going to get married. And that's if they're single. Then if they get married, then the fear is, oh no, he's at work. And there's somebody, I know I'm not the apple of his eye anymore. I know this has got to be somebody else, and I mean, who am I? And it just, and they just go to pieces, and they're at home, you know. He's at work, and he's probably, you know, just happy as can be, content, having a good time. And the devil just working her over. You know, he's seeing somebody else, you know. And ladies, if you're watching the boob tube, I'll tell you what, you're just opening yourself up to the devil, man. You know, because up there, it's just all over that stuff. You know, and I know there's somebody down there, and she's sweet, and she's talking to him, and he's probably seeing her, and there's an affair going on. He's going to leave me. Oh, no, you know, and he comes home, and he's happy. He's content. He walks in. Hi, honey. How are you? I'm okay. He's like, well, what's wrong? Nothing. He's like, what'd I do? You know, it's just... You know, they get scared of that. You're going to have to get this old book, and you're going to have to claim the promises and pray and fight off that worry and fight off that fear. If not, boy, the devil will just work you over. And you know what children are afraid of? I mean, the little ones, generally. You know what they're afraid of? They're afraid of the dark. You know, usually afraid of the dark. You know, here's a child, you know, and they've just... You know, they're able to walk, you know, and you're potty training, you know, and you know that, you know, they can do it. You just know they've got it together. They know how to do it and all that stuff. And you've got enough lights on at night that it's almost daylight in there. I mean, you know, you got the night lights lined the hall to the bedroom, you know, the whole thing, man, all the way. And you see, now see, honey, you're a big person now, and you can make it down there, and you'll be able to be a big person and go on your own. You understand? You know, and boy, you put him down there, and it's like, oh God, please, you know, and man, you just want a night to sleep all the way through. And man, long about 2 a.m, they start crying. And the husband says, honey, you go get him. I got to go to work. And the wife gets up, she walks in, and it's like, honey, why didn't you use the, you know, you can do it. You know, he's just crying. But see, they're afraid that as soon as they put their leg over that bed, the boogeyman's just going to take him under there and he'll never be seen from again. Ah, you know. And as soon as they grab a hold of mama's hand or daddy's hand, everything's fine. They get out and everything's fine. And children of the Lord, you know what we're afraid of? The dark. We're afraid of the dark. When you don't have all the answers, and what am I going to do if, and what am I going to do if, and how am I going to get through this, and what if that, and what if that? Now I'll tell you, you're going to have to grab a hold of the hand of God. And you're going to have to step and let Him lead you through the dark. I remember when I was at Bible school, you know, I was with Jim Smith. They boarded me, this family, and their boy was about 10 years old, I guess, 8 or 10, something like that. And it was a nice day. The doors open, screen door shut, you know, and we're sitting around fellowshipping on a Saturday. And there's a big southern oak tree in front of there. It was a duplex. Big southern oak went up, and the branches went way out, you know, and it's a beautiful thing. And we're in there talking, and Aaron and the girls, his sisters, they're out playing. And mom and dad, you know the scream? And there's a certain scream that you go, oh, they're all right. And then there's the other one. And it's like, ah, you know. Well, this was the other one. And all of a sudden, man, this scream came and Jim jumped up and it was Aaron. And man, we walked right out. It was only about from here to that door probably where the oak tree was. We walk out. Of course, the branches are all over. And here's Aaron hanging from the branch. I don't know if he was like this or like this. I think it was like this. Big old branch about that big around. And he's going, Daddy, Daddy! And, you know, and he's screaming. His feet probably about high as that ceiling there. And he's just screaming. Jim is a big guy. Came out there. And I saw him look. He had a Volkswagen bus. So I look at it, and I know what he was thinking. He's thinking I could get under him, and I'd get up on it and get him. And they realize he isn't going to be able to hang that long. And Jim got under him. And he said, all right, Aaron, let go. I'll catch you. And, yeah. And Aaron's up there like that, and he's looking down at Daddy. And he really had no other option. And he's up there, and he hesitated for about 15 seconds. He said, Aaron, I'll get you, really. I'll catch you. Just let go, I'll get you. And Aaron let go. And Jim caught him, and everything was fine. And some of you, you know where you're at? Ah! That's where you're at. And the everlasting arms are underneath, and you got to let go. And you haven't let go. You're in prison. You know, the Bible says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man's doing to me. You've got to take the promises of that book. If the truth shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. And you take these promises, and boy, it'll open up a whole new world to you like you never would have imagined if you just let the truth set you free. But you know, there's another prison. Religion is a prison. You say, well, how can religion be a prison? Religion is a prison when religion is substituted for God. And it happens in Baptist churches. Oh, there's a lot of people that are more afraid of what the preacher says than what God says. They just leave it in. Well, you know, and you know, people are this way. They just want somebody to tell them. They don't want to think. They don't want responsibility. You know, that's what's going on in America right now. You know, Israel, after the book of Judges, it said every man did that which was right in their own eyes, and they were for, and they'd get right, and then they'd just go back, and they'd get right, and that went back and forth. And after enough of that, you know what they said? They said, we want a king that'll fight our battles. Well, he's going to take this, he's going to take this. We don't care. Just fight our battles, and we want to be like everybody else. You know that's going on in America? We just want a government to take care of us. Well, you're going to lose this. You're going to lose this. You're going to lose this. We don't care. Just fight our battles. We want to be like everybody else. We want to be like Europe. We want to be like that. We don't care. That's what's going on right now. They just don't want the liberty. They don't want to work. They don't want the freedom. They really don't want it. Actually, they want both, but it isn't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. And you take religion. I remember... I had preached this sermon in a church, and they had recorded it and left it there. And a number of years went by, and a brother moved in to take that church and pastor it. And he saw that sermon, and he listened to it. And he had just come from a very, very controlling situation to the point where the church told him which store to shop at, when to shop, what to buy, on and on. I mean, everything. And if they didn't do exactly everything, then they're rebellious, you know, and all that stuff. And he said he listened. I went there. I didn't know it, you know. And he came up, shook my hand, hugged me, and started crying. He said, you have no idea what a blessing that sermon was to me. You take religion is a prison when religion substituted for God. Religion will take you liberty. And you got liberty in Christ. I mean, not liberty to sin. You're not to use it for an occasion of flesh. But you got liberty. You don't have to worry about, you know, this or that. And he's living in this prison. Man, there's people all around this nation. All around the world in prisons. I mean, I remember I was in Memphis. And we had just gone preaching on the street downtown Memphis. Beale Street. It wasn't Beale Street Blast, but it was Beale Street. People everywhere. I'd never been preaching like that. You ever been preaching on the street when you're in the middle of a crowd and they are that far from you and you go, the Bible says. That's something, man. I mean, and all of a sudden, there was a circle around me. They just kind of went, whoosh. And there was a circle around me, preach, and then when you get done, it comes back. It was amazing. But anyway, we're there preaching, and a lot of it, just a bunch of backslidden Christians by their testimony. And I get tired of dealing with backslidden Christians. You know, I just want to rebuke them and I just want to lead some to the Lord. But anyway, we're there, it's just about done. And I see these two Mormon missionaries coming across the big parking lot. And their tie was undone, and they'd put in a long day for the devil, and they were going home. And so they're coming along, and I thought, now's my chance. And the preacher was with me, and they're coming across, and that, you know, it's like, okay, let's deal with them. So I go, we start talking to them, and you know, the preacher, Brother Martin, he's talking to him about, you know, salvation, or I forget exactly what it was. And I said, now you guys, I said, I got a question. And I did. I mean, I was not trying to be a smart aleck at all. I really wasn't. And I said, now I got a question for you. They said, all right. I said, now you guys represent, you know, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They said, that's right. I said, well, I got a question. I said, no, I knew they weren't going to want to answer it. I said, I am not trying to be a smart aleck. But I've heard some things, and I just want to know if it's true. And I figured you'd be able to answer it. I said, do you guys have special underwear? And they just kind of went, I said, look, I know. I said, I'm not trying to, you know. I said, but I just want to know. I said, I've heard it, but I'd never heard it, you know, from the horse's mouth. I said, do you have special underwear? And the one guy said, well, you know, maybe, you know, you need to talk to the stake bishop or whatever. I said, look, I live on the road. I'm not from around here. I said, we travel along. I said, I've read it in books and stuff. I said, but I've never asked anybody. I said, I just want to know, do you, don't you? And well, I said, I just want to know. And so the one guy goes, yeah, we do. I said, okay. I said, thanks. I just want to know. And then I thought, wait a minute. And folks, I really am. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck to them. I thought, wait a minute. What? I said, I got another question for you. And they're like, what is it? And I said, do you have any on? I did. And I said, I'm not trying to be, I just want to know. And he's like, yeah. I said, okay, that's all I want to know. That's, you know, I mean, I had one guy tell me. He was in the military, and this guy was a Mormon, and he would lay the underwear right by the shower. And he'd put his hand on the underwear, and he'd get all his clothes off, and he'd step in the shower, and he'd wash like this, you know. And then when he'd get done with that side, he'd put his other hand on the underwear, and he'd turn around. You know, and he always had to be touching the underwear. I'm like, and I've heard that thing verified more than once. You know, and I just thought, man, you talk about a prison. Well, that's rough. You know, I don't know who makes Mormon underwear. I really don't. I don't know who makes them, but you know what? They're rich. They are the rich. You say, well, why do you say that? You can charge any price you want. Really? Yeah, I mean, we're going home that night, you know. Preacher looked over me and says, man, I thought you were going to ask, can I see it? I said, no. I said, I wasn't going to ask that. I was going to ask if it was polyester or cotton, you know. That's. But you take, I mean, just think, you got to have the special. You talk about a prison, man. I mean, you know, you got these people, you know, these ladies, you know, they got their bonnet on. You know, there, I got my bonnet on. I'm okay. You know, tie my bonnet, you know. You know, and the guys got their hats, you know. And it depends on which sect you're in. You know, if you split your hair down the middle, three quarter, or on the side. Or maybe put it all straight back or all forward, you know. And they got the bonnet, and sometimes they tie them. Sometimes they let it hang. Sometimes they just pin it in, you know. It just stays there. You know, I just, all that stuff, say, there, I got my stuff, I'm okay. No, you're not, man. You're on your way to hell. All that, you know, all that. I mean, if you took away the beards, the buggies, and the bonnets from those people, what would they have? You know? They don't have anything. They're just, well, we're okay, we're okay, we're okay. No, they're not, man. They're just lost on their way to hell. It's amazing their testimony around the nation. Oh, they're good Christian people. They're a mess, man. They're a mess. You take that thing, just worried about whatever the bishop says, whatever the bishop says, whatever the bishop says. Man, that's a prison. That's not Bible. Man, you better be concerned with what Jesus Christ says. Listen, if you love God and you love that book, there's nothing wrong with you as a church member. There's nothing wrong with you as a church member. Man, you're trying to please God and do right. You'll be the best church member there is. It's amazing, man, around the country, the preachers, you just say, man, isn't it good to be a Bible believer? Thank God for freedom, man. Thank God for freedom. You see, well, how did we get free? From that book right there. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. For by grace you're saved through faith, and that of yourself is a gift to God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Thank God for freedom. Man, thank God. There's one more prison. And that's a prison called hell. You won't get out of that one. You won't get out of that one. There's a prison that's got bars. And those bars, they lock them in there. And the people and the inhabitants of hell, they don't get out. Oh, they get out to stand before God at the judgment. And then they go to lake fire. But I'll tell you what, they want out. They're not getting out. It's too late. It's too late. I remember going to maximum security prison at Moore, Alabama. Man, I'd never been around that gang. You know, I'd never been around those guys. I mean, yeah, I was doing stuff the world, but I went around the real rough crowd. Man, went up there, had my guitar, had my Bible. He said, let's go up to Atmore Sunday night. I said, all right, let's go. You know, and there was guys that would go once a month, I believe it was. And we got up there and came in. I'd never been around a maximum security prison. Walked in there, and everything's cement. And we had to sign in. They said, just a minute. We waited about 5-10 minutes, and the guard came, and he came out, saw us, and looked up there and shook his head, and the electronic steel door, we pushed it open. You could hear the clip-clop of our shoes on the cement, and that clip-clop would echo and bounce off the cement walls, lights on the ceiling. Walk through that door, there's another door, open it. About the time we opened it, the one behind us went, slam! Boom, boom, echoed through there. And man, I was like, I don't like that sound. That just, boy, there was an uneasiness kind of crept over me. We walked through the second door, and there was a corridor we had to go down. There was another door at the end. And we're walking down. You can hear the clip-clop of our feet as we went across the cement floor. About halfway down, bang, 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 down that corridor. And man, I thought two doors. And I started praying, oh God, let those doors open again. And I got to that third one, and they opened it. We went through there, long corridor. We start walking down, get about 10 feet down, bang, and hear it echo down there. And I thought, man, I'm in. I'm in. Here we are. Walking down there, you know, when they say they're hard, they're hard. I'd never seen a face like that. It's just rock hard. We're walking down there. I'd never been anything like that before in my life. Walking down, there's a barber shop on the right. I just walking, I remember looking over, and I mean, I flinched. I just walking down there, you know, I looked over. I know I did that. The guy just staring at me. He had me pegged like that. He just one look, he knew. Man, we walked down, got in the chapel there. Best rendition of Amazing Grace I'd ever heard sung was in that chapel by those prisoners. But I remember hearing those doors just, the sound just bounce off the walls and just thinking, oh God, let those doors open again. But oh, what a sound it must be to the sinner as he goes through the gates of hell. And he gets pitched off into that fire and that torch, and he hears the screaming and people weeping and wailing and gnashing their teeth, and he goes in and he starts to scream, and all of a sudden, blam, and the door shuts. Not getting out. Not getting out. He's in prison. He won't get out. Truth won't get him out of that one. Jesus Christ won't get him out of that one. It's too late. It's too late. If you're here tonight and you're lost, you need to get saved. You're in sin. You're in a prison. And there's no way you can break out. Jesus Christ has got to break you out through the blood. And if you're saved, whether it's fear, whether it's worry, whether it's what the brethren say or whatever, the same solution, whether it's sin, fear, religion, or whatever, that book's your ticket to freedom. Right there. Jesus Christ is your ticket to freedom. You gotta get in that thing, memorize those scriptures, and let go. And give those worries, those fears, give them to God. Let God take them. Because it's not God's will for you to be in a prison. There's supposed to be liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Let's pray. Father, God help us, Lord. Some basic things here, but so important. So many people just abiding in a prison. Maybe others can't see it. The bars aren't obvious. They're not visual. And yet it's a prison. And God, I pray that they might get relief. I pray, God, they might get victory. I pray, God, tonight they'd be liberated from whatever prison they're in. Father, I just pray, God, that you would bless and speak to hearts. Draw us nearer to thee. Set us free, Lord. Free to serve you and do what you want us to do. Not remain unfaithful just due to fear. God, please, whatever the need, Lord, I pray you'd meet it tonight. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Father, bless, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Let's turn to number 282.
a place we need to surrender and hide. That's a lot of the Christian life, isn't it? Yeah, it takes guts and courage, and you got to sally forth in some places. But folks, there's ways. It revolves around surrender and hiding. Having the right guy to hide behind. We have the right one. Amen. Amen. On the last. Days left, right? Hey, we're back at 7 tomorrow night. We've done it before at 6 on Saturday, but remember it's 7 o'clock tomorrow night here, all right? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we appreciate what we got a chance to hear tonight, partake in. Lord, I know some folks are tired, scrambling around, a lot of stuff going on. It's been that way, and we're glad for good news, Lord, along the way, along with complications at times. Glad for Jacqueline coming through fine. I'm glad for Terry maybe not being quite so bad as we thought. And Lord, we just pray that you'll continue to work in this meeting and in our midst. May we all respond the way you want us to respond, Father. May we all yield and do what we're supposed to do before thee. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, good night.